You're listening to the Hove Vineyard podcast. To find out more about the Hove Vineyard Church, go to hovevineyard.co.uk.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Anthony, and it's my great privilege to bring the reading to us this morning. It's going to be taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning from verse 1. We're reading out of the NIV, so feel free to join us all. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore of the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Others fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. We're in a series looking at Jesus and mission. Basically, how does Jesus engage with people in his culture, and indeed lessons for our culture, particularly those who don't have faith? And how can we engage with people likewise? And today I want to talk to you about Jesus and the seed, Jesus and the seed. And here's the main central point we're going to engage with today. Why do people not come to faith? Now, there's lots of reasons why people don't come to faith, and we can't exhaust all of those today. So I just want to give you some of the main reasons why people don't come to faith this morning. And this is so important. In fact, in the reading, you notice in verse 13, Jesus is saying, look, if you don't get this parable, you're going to really struggle to understand other parables. That tells me that this parable is really significant. There's some lessons for us here which are absolutely crucial that we must understand in terms of the way Jesus works, the kingdom works, and to help us engage with people. In fact, Jesus begins the teaching of the parable with the word listen. And it's written in the text with an exclamation mark. In other words, this is really, really important. Listen. And I've been teaching one of my kids how to cross the road safely recently. I mean, she's 16. She should know now how to cross the road. My five-year-old. And of course, we're going through the process. And we have to go through the process because it's really serious. The consequences of not crossing the road safely, of course, can be serious injury or indeed death. So it's kind of like Jesus saying, look, listen, stop, look, listen. This is really, really serious. This is life and death, potentially. And so we must understand. Let me frame this with an illustration. Whenever I've gone on a plane somewhere, before you take off, the stewards do the classic in-flight safety demonstration. Anybody come across that? So we have a picture there. And basically, if the plane is going down, here's what you need to know. Now, what blows my mind every single time this happens is barely anybody's listening. People are reading their book. They've got their headphones on. They're just sort of sleeping. And it's maybe because they know it all and they've heard it before. But I actually think for a lot of people on the plane is they switch off because they think whatever's going to happen won't happen to them. They're lured into a false sense of security in terms of the safety of the plane. This is serious stuff, what Jesus wants to say. And he's saying, look, you're going to have to lean in. You're going to have to look. You're going to have to listen. Not be asleep. Not have your headphones in. Not be distracted by another purpose. This is really, really key for us. And so Jesus, as we read in the Gospels, has been on mission. He's doing the stuff and he's teaching and proclaiming the kingdom. He's demonstrating the kingdom and healing and deliverance and miracles. And here we have now this parable. A story which tends to relate to people in everyday life. And here we have, which is very prevalent in those days, agriculture. And so people are able to understand it. And that's what Jesus does. And that's how we must operate. We must always connect with people in their language and so they can understand clearly. And then in that illustration, in that story, there's a profound spiritual truth. It's almost like people are blown away by the wonder of Jesus. And now comes in the warnings of Jesus. I actually think that's a real good lesson for us as we share our faith. A lot of people, you might come across street preachers, and I'm never going to diss street preachers because they communicate a lot more faith and confidence than I ever will to stand up in a city center and just share the gospel. But often people just hear warnings without the wonder of Jesus. What I've found to be more fruitful in my life, my personal life of sharing with people, is I love to talk about the wonder of Jesus. Who he is and the better story of the faith. And then as we do that and as we engage with people, you're able, in the context often of relationship, to communicate some of the warnings, some of the hard stuff, the cost of discipleship. If we're serious about following Jesus, this is what it will mean. It will mean leaving your entire life to follow him, making him Lord of your life, not just Savior of your life, that he's King of your life, that he is the number one priority in your life. And here in this passage is a brilliant exposition of, in the context of warnings, after people have seen the wonders of Jesus, about why people respond to the gospel and others don't. Now, you just put yourself in the shoes of the story. You're seeing Jesus do amazing things and signs and wonders. And you'd be thinking, surely you'd just go and follow him, wouldn't you? Surely you'd just give up everything to follow him. And yet many people weren't. Some people were, many people weren't. And Jesus wants to help us understand why is that. And so this is absolutely key. But let me start with, this is a vision. This is our goal, this is our heart as a church, to see people come to know him. to see our city come home. That's what we talk about when we talk about inviting people home. We want people to come home, which is a relationship with God. This is what we are about. We want to see more and more people compelled and called into the kingdom. You see, when somebody becomes a Christian, I don't know if you've been to any of our baptism services, but aren't they the most moving of all services when you hear people's stories and testimonies? When people come into relationship with Jesus, it is the most thrilling and amazing thing in all the world. This, for me, is the reason why we're here. This is why we do church. The mission of God to see people come to faith. In John's gospel, there is a story in chapter 3, maybe you're familiar with it, about this conversation with a guy called Nicodemus. And there's a phrase in there used called born again. That no one comes into the kingdom unless they are born again. And that's a phrase that's often, I think of it as being marginalized and sidelined by the church, sadly. Because this spiritual truth is the most important thing. This is why and how people come into the kingdom and become followers of Christ. This is amazing new birth that happens when people become Christians. That becoming a Christian isn't about adopting another lifestyle. It's not saying I've tried this and I've tried that, I'm going to start to follow some of this teaching and I kind of enjoy church and they do nice coffee and look after my kids for an hour and all this great stuff. It's not about adopting another lifestyle. It's not a self-help route. Jesus is your life. He's not a lifestyle. He is the bread of life. He is everything. And what happens is when you become a Christian is that something miraculous and supernatural happens. There's this new birth, this new beginning that happens from God. It is God initiated. It is supernatural. It's a cleansing from our sin. And we're talking not just a face wipe over the face, we're talking a deep clean. Complete deep clean by God, where the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And quoting from Ezekiel and Jeremiah, he comes and he gives you a brand new heart, a brand new heart, and puts a new spirit within you. The old things have gone, the new has come. We become partakers of his divine nature, and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us as a deposit of our future inheritance, and there's a mystery to it. And in that passage, it talks about it's like the wind. There's kind of like a mystery to it, but it's the most wonderful, miraculous thing. And what we have experienced, and I experienced that when I was 8 years old, and I've been following Jesus for the last 34 years, is it is so wonderful, it's so miraculous, it's so compelling. You want others to experience and taste that goodness. We want our friends to experience it. We want our family members to experience it. We want our neighbors, those who we walk by, those who we meet randomly, and like I talked about last week, even our enemies. And it's difficult to articulate. It really is. That's why it talks about it's like a mystery. It's like the wind. I love food. It's no secret. I love food. I'm a feaster, not a faster. That's my spiritual gift. And if I wasn't a pastor, I'd probably be a food critic. Just ask my wife. I'm a brilliant food critic. And as much as I can describe how good something tastes, the truth is we never get it unless we try it for ourselves. And the Bible says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. And church, I believe that on our watch, our priority as a church, as we welcome people home, is that we're inviting our entire city to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And this parable will help us in the process of that invitation. And this is why it's so important, and this is a central point for all mission, is that I found one of the great barriers for people, for you, for I, sharing our faith is potential rejection. And we often take things personally when we may pray for someone or share the good news of Jesus with somebody and nothing happens. In fact, for many people, it makes them even more offended and reject us. And so we fear that. As human beings, we fear that, and it fuels a sense of rejection. Like, what if I don't communicate correctly? What if I've not said this the right way? What if I've chosen a really bad time? And we don't want to put them off God, and we certainly don't want to feel that sense of rejection. I think that potential rejection robs many of us the confidence to share the gospel. The fear of rejection. I want to encourage you that Jesus Christ, Son of God, doing all this kingdom stuff, he also received rejection. So don't be disheartened. I mean, it's tough for him, it's going to be tough for us. So let's get into it. Verse 3. A farmer went out to sow the seed. This is our part. Really simple. We have to sow, we have to share, we have to pray, we have to act. This is our part. This is what we do. We sow the seed. This is you and I sowing the seed daily with our colleague at work over lunchtime, with our kids, with bedtime stories. Can I just say our kids' church are amazing, our kids' team. Particularly our five-year-old, it's been a challenge. And just last week, and I was sharing with a couple of the kids' team and Rachel, that just she stood on our bed and just did a preach for like 5 minutes. It's like nothing's happened for 5 years and suddenly it all comes out. And I'm like, it's got nothing to do with Joni and I. It is just amazing what they're doing on a Sunday. And she said, thank God for the church. That's what she told me on her way to school. Thank God for the church. I get to learn this stuff. So much so that for the first time this last week, she went to bed on her own. She said, I want to be a big girl. And she went to bed on her own. And I went and checked on her a couple hours later. She was fast asleep with a Bible on top of her. And I was just so overwhelmed, so moved, because just the faithfulness of people sowing seed into her life. And I'm sure we've all got amazing stories like that. And so, whether it is the person on the streets, whether it's with our coworker, whether it's the parent telling the bedtime story, whenever we share God's word, we're spreading seed. And note how this seed has been spread. Verse 4, it's been scattered. What I've noticed in my journey is that so often when we have deep relationships with people, we have emotional ties with people, particularly our family, and particularly if our family don't know Jesus, is it will be very, very intentional with sowing seed with them, because the consequence and the cost of that relationship weighs more on us. But I actually think, as good as that is that it needs to be both and, not either or. Is that for many people we're sowing seed, but actually they're not ready to respond to Christ. And yet we're walking by hundreds of people every week who are desperate for Jesus. What I want to encourage us as a church is that we're intentional, yes, we're deliberate. Yes, we invest in personal relationship, but actually we are liberal seed scatterers. That actually our job is just to sow the seed and scatter the seed. Every single day. And what we recognize in this parable is that as we do this, and that's our job, is that it will fall upon different conditions, which are conditions of the heart. So in the context of this story, the soil is the heart. The soil is the heart. Now this is key. We can sow, we can scatter, but whether or not it bears fruit depends now on the soil of people's hearts and the work of God. Now, that should actually take a lot of pressure off us. Because I think for Christians, we take responsibility for all those other things. What Jesus wants to say is, look, I'm doing the stuff, and yet come in close, be perceptive, lean in, let me tell you a story with warnings. It's actually to do with the conditions of people's heart. And so here we have a bunch of conditions. Verse 4, we have the seed falling on the path, and of course the birds come and eat it. Verse 5, the seed comes on rocky places, not much soil. Verse 7, the thorns. Seed falls on the thorns, which chokes the seed. And then, of course, we have verse 8, good soil, which yields a harvest. Now, I'm not brilliant at maths, but that tells me that only 25% are responsive. So just think about it. For every four people we might share with, probably only one in four will have responsive hearts. I still think that's pretty good. But so often we want to take responsibility for the 100%, especially if it's two or three people maybe in our family. I actually think if we go back to this idea of being liberal seed scatterers and we just throw the seed out there and it will just hit many different soils of people's journey, conditions of the heart. So verse 14 onwards now gives you the parallel meaning of these conditions. So verse 15, it comes on the path, the birds eat the seed, and this is talking about a hardness of heart. Have you ever engaged with people and the reality is they're not responsive to the good news of Jesus because there's a hardness of heart? It's almost like it just bounces, and maybe there's even an aggression there, maybe there's atheism there because maybe it's some suffering that they've experienced in their own life. And so there's just a hardness of heart. There's a rejection of God. And in verse 16, you have the rocky places. So it's not much soil. There's no root. And often this is an emotional response. It's a superficial response. It's what I would call a shallow heart. And so someone may be actually quite responsive. They may come to a family fun day on Alpha Course or one of our Christmas services and they feel moved. They feel moved by what they've seen and they think, yeah, that's interesting. And it moves them emotionally, but actually it's not taken root. Eventually that won't lead to fruitfulness. And so there's a shallow heart. Maybe it's, this is just when the going gets tough, too much of a price to pay. Persecution comes. And they go, do you know what? No. God starts not answering my prayers the way I wanted. I thought he'd come through for me and this, and that, and then it doesn't happen. And then the seed doesn't yield the fruit. Then you have verse 17, the thorns, the worries of life, wealth, and desire. It's what I would call as distraction. I think church, and this is what we must always do, is that when we listen to the stories and the teachings of Jesus, is that we must always engage with double hearing. We must listen for the sake of others and how we engage with those who aren't of the faith, but we must also apply this to our own hearts. I wonder how many of you are listening to this and looking at the conditions of your heart and thinking, do you know what? Right now in my life, I kind of feel like I have a hard heart. Right now in my life, I feel like I'm up and down with my emotions, that I'm good with God when I feel good, but when things are tough, I'm not so good with God. Maybe like this, there's a crowded heart. I think this is our greatest danger for us in our culture right now. A crowded heart, a distracted heart. So many things going on in our lives. Too many options. We can't pursue Christ with wholeheartedness because our hearts are invested in many other things. And then, of course, you have the verse after that, the good soil, which is a fruitful heart. So one in four, we're scattering the seed. The seed will land on a condition of the heart, good soil, which will bear fruit. And this is somebody's heart who is ready for the seed of the gospel. And do you know what? Usually that comes from a place of like, they've exhausted all other options. Found this in COVID. Is it actually often pain and distress and difficulty leads people to like, I've tried everything. I need God. And those who truly, I think, discover the kingdom are those who recognize their need of a savior. That we have sinned, that we've fallen short of the glory of God, we've missed the mark, and we need him. We need him desperately. And I think this is what Jesus is drawing his hearers into, to a place of dependence. Look, I know you love the wonders of Jesus, but let's come in a little bit closer. Hear my heart. If you want to bear fruit in your life, if you want to be a fruitful disciple, then your heart needs to be of good soil. So what is central here seems to be the state and responsiveness of people's hearts. So we must share well, like the farmer, in partnership with God. We must share truthfully the seed, and the rest is up to God and the condition of people's hearts in terms of soil. Now, the Apostle Paul understood this principle. When he brought the gospel to a place called Corinth, he planted the church and left it in the care of someone called Apollos. And later he described the experience this way: I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. God was the one who actually drew people to himself, changed hearts, and caused people to be sanctified and have the new birth, being born again. This is a work of the Spirit. It's not our job. We couldn't heal anyone. We couldn't convert anyone. This is a supernatural work of the Spirit. But guess what? We do need to sow. We need to plant. But God always causes the growth. How do people, therefore, get softer hearts? And this is my invitation to us as a church, is that I really believe that it's the way we, in terms of scattering seed, is we see people's hearts soften to receive the gospel is through prayer. I don't believe there's any other way than prayer. And again, Paul understood this, and in 2 Corinthians 4, he said this: therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor we distort the word of God. So in other words, no manipulation, no watering the truth down. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, so communicating well, connecting well, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience. And I've just missed the page. I've not printed off all my notes. Let's go. I could do it off by heart, don't worry. Where are we? Well, we renounce secret and shameful ways. We don't use deception, nor we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, this is the key bit, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So actually, it's the enemy blinding people's ability to see. And it's the light of Christ that as we share the gospel and sow that seed, that light penetrates the darkness. And I believe that the as well as sharing the gospel, the number one way we engage with people to see hearts softened is through the power of prayer. So I want to encourage you, church, is let's be praying. We have wonderful corporate prayer meetings available. We have a prayer room, but I'm talking about in our personal lives. Who are the people that we're praying that God would soften their hearts to be receptive to the gospel? And it's a battle, it's a fight, it's a challenge. It's not something that we just say, hey, it doesn't matter. This is something that we must engage with. So I think prayer is really, really important. But I want us to focus on, if the conditions of the soil of people's hearts isn't up to us, how can we be really good seed scatterers? I want to give you a bunch of kind of practical things to help us with this. So we've got the next slide up. First of all, presence. I was in a board meeting this week in Leeds, and everyone around the table, they're not Christians, and they know I'm a Christian. And this guy, one of the guys there, was telling a story, and he was telling a story of he was on this bike ride last week for charity. And he said to me, he said to the whole table, he said, and I was using the name of the Lord in vain. And then he stopped and he said, "How can I apologize to you, John?" So this, he wasn't even blaspheming in front of me. He was actually recollecting blaspheming earlier on in the week whilst on a bike ride and had to apologize to me for it. That's what I would call scattering and sowing seed through presence. In other words, your presence in a room, your presence at work, at the gym, wherever you are, and the way you live your life will cause people to respond. So they may say to you, you're in a committee meeting or something, and they're gossiping, and you're the only one who refuses to gossip, or they're saying some jokes which are crude, or they're demonstrating some prejudice and you don't engage. All it takes is for someone to come to you at the end and go, "I noticed that. Why? Why are you different? What is going on in your life?" That is called presence scattering of seed. Second one, passing. So, you know, I talked about intentionally sowing seed to people, maybe in our family, which is great, but actually, what about people who we just pass by all the time? I used to love this as a student. They were the best times for passing moments. You'd be, I remember one time I was on a bus and someone came up to me on the bus from Cottingham to the university. And they just came up to me and said, "I need God in my life." Now, I never had met this person in my life. And yet, the Holy Spirit was orchestrating something. And so you could just be in a restaurant. You could just be getting petrol somewhere. You could just be talking to someone, a charity worker in the streets of Hull. These are passing relationships. You may never see them again, but what an opportunity to sow seed. So one of the things I love to do is that you may meet people in the street and they would like some money for their charity, okay? And so, look, you can be like the opposite of the Good Samaritan and walk by. It's very tempting, particularly if you're busy with something. But actually, a real easy win is to listen to them for a few minutes and just, you could say, "Look, if I give you a few minutes, can you give me a few minutes?" They're going to say yes. They always say yes. And what I always do is I love to affirm them in the heart of compassion. So I love to say to them, "You know, you have the heart of God. The fact that you love justice, the fact that you are doing this in your own time or whatever, the fact that you will expect people to reject you and to say, 'I'm not interested,' by the hundreds, and yet you're still passionate about this cause. I think that reflects the heart of God. Can we pray for you?" And then when they talk about, you know, you may give them some money, you may sign up to a direct debit or standing order, whatever, but actually, what Joni and I love to do is actually share about where we give our money. So, hey, actually, we're investing in something right now with our money. We give actually this proportion of our income into the local church. This is the local church we're part of. This is the website. This is the Facebook. This is the Instagram. And you're able to share with people really naturally and really freely with those who pass us by. You might not be able to get through all of these permanent. Again, these are the people in our family, our closest friends. It is key that we don't rush this process. And because we have a heart connection with people, we want to usher them into the kingdom quickly. We want them to see what we see. And so often that means us overreaching. Come on, how many of you have been at the great Christmas gathering and, you know, you're the only Christian there and you're like, "Come on, what are we going to do? How are we going to get through today?" And I want to encourage you to be faithful. Just let the character of Christ shine through your life rather than trying to coerce people into things. But just be ready for that conversation. But let's just be Christians, be generous, be kind, be loving, and let your character and the character of Christ show. Okay, number four, preparation. If we could just go to a couple more slides, there's a scale I want us to just look at. Just keep going. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard of this called the Engel scale. John Wimber, the founder of Vineyard, used this a lot. And preparation is about understanding that you may sow a seed, but somebody will reap the harvest later on. So I want you to think about all the people in your world and in your life who are at different points of this. And so you might meet someone, or somebody's in your family, or somebody at work who has no God framework whatsoever. They're like a minus 10. And often what we do is we're trying to say things to them. J. John, who we got coming to speak at the City Hall, that's it, in December for our Christmas service. You know, he talks about, you know, some of us like to get a giant King James Bible and ram it down people's throats. And they find it all too much. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're overfaced. And so we've got to understand where people are at. And what I love about this is that many people I've led to Christ have had years of people sowing seed into their life. And you just come along and it's like, no problem. Would you like to give your life to Christ? Yes. But they've had years of people praying for them and sowing seed. And likewise, maybe we're at the other end. We're sowing seed. We're engaging with people. We're being like Christ to people. We're praying for people. And then suddenly, in months or years, somebody leads them to Christ. We go back to power. We're going to be talking about this, I think it's in 2 weeks' time, about how Jesus engages with power to break through. I think this is really prevalent in our westernized world and thinking, is that people have rejected God because it's been replaced by what we see in terms of science, in terms of what we feel. And actually a power encounter, when we pray for someone and somebody is dramatically healed, or somebody has spoken, we've been learning about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and what's brilliant about that is the training place for the marketplace. That actually the prophetic and those other things, where it gets really exciting is when we're engaging with that, with people who don't know Jesus. And so that power, you see an inbreaking of the kingdom of God in a moment. That might, if you go back to that Engel scale for a moment, it might mean taking people from like a minus 10 right through to like a minus 4, because they've just had a moment where they've experienced God. And do you know what? I just think we should keep it really simple. Sometimes it's just about saying, look, can I pray for you for 7 seconds? Can I pray for you for 7 seconds? And just in that moment, they just feel or experience something of God in that moment. And we don't need to use complicated language. It's just about being real. And this is why we encourage in the church, from our ministry time here to our home groups to wherever, is we're not after being religious. We're about keeping people's dignity and praying for people like we're talking to people who don't know Jesus. Let God do the work, and we engage with people by talking and praying kind of with simplicity, with language that isn't, hey, if we can get a lot of the old King James, then God's going to now answer our prayer. No. And so I think this power is really key. And then finally, then we're going to pray. Perception. This is what we learn in prayer and discernment, is that every single day when we're engaging with people at work, at school gates, wherever, is that we're perceiving where people are at on the journey. What is the soil of people's hearts when we engage with them? Is there distraction? Is there crowding? Are there rocks there, rocks of, and this is for us as well, rocks of bitterness and unforgiveness and entitlement, and so the seed can't land? What are we doing? What are we perceiving when we engage with people? And I think the absolute key there is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. As we engage with people, we will better understand.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.